Join us now for an encouraging word from a member of our teaching team. Here's the message.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? Wow. Love your new place, Dominion. You've done well. Amen. I like this. I've seen it somewhere before. I'm not sure where, but that's all right. I'm going to tell you something. No sense in reinventing the wheel. Amen. I walked through here this morning, and Bobby greeted me at the door, and he said, "You want to go see Pastor?" I said, "Not really. I want to go on a tour." I'm glad it wasn't a three-hour tour. And it all started getting rough, and the tiny ship was tossed. And but I went through, and the first thing he noticed was I took my phone out and started taking pictures. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm borrowing for our future. I'm taking pictures of what phase two may look like over at Mercy Gate." And so it's so good to be with you. I know you've had a phenomenal conference. I've been following you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram all weekend as my phone's been blowing up and loving it. I apologize that Michael Rowan was here last night. And there's just some damages that can't be undone, but we'll do our best this morning. No, I've known Michael forever and a day, and he literally tore our place to the ground in September. Thanks a lot for recommending him. We're still trying to repair everything from that. No, amazing. I'm going to tell you, you have some incredible pastors here at Dominion. And I'm not just saying that. I've known them for a day or two, and they have been very instrumental to speak prophetically into mine and Jonna's life and into Mercy Gate, into my boys' lives. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember a bunch of years ago when your pastor called me and he said, "Hey, I want to take you and you need to look at some property with me." And I said, "Okay." And we drove to nowhere where there was nothing. There were cows. There was not a school. There was not new stores. There were not homes. There were cattle. And we stood in this field and he said, "Can you see Dominion Church here?" Aren't you glad you have a prophet that can look into the future and know what God is saying about your future? See, because not every pastor would understand that. You got to have someone that has prophetic vision and then apostolic insight that knows how to build what they have seen in the future. I'm helping somebody already. And I'm grateful that your pastors could stand in a field and see their future. No matter what the journey would look like, no matter what the process would look like, when you can see your future, though you've not entered into it yet, you can endure the process. Because the journey might be difficult, but if you have a vision that is bigger than your journey. Can't get no help in the 8 o'clock service. That's all right. How many brought a Bible with you? Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to preach a message on your theme of overflow in this service, and I'm going to go ahead and warn everybody. I'm going to preach something different in the second service. Last year when I spoke at this conference, I told you I kind of wanted to come back when the new facility was completed and prepare the house for next. Because you got to know what's next. It's okay to shout, it's okay to talk about overflow, but overflow is always for a purpose, and that's what's next. That's good. That's good. If you've ever been through a fight and you didn't know the reason for the fight will prepare you for next. It'll prepare you for what's coming. But if all you do is have eyes for the right now, you'll miss what's next. And sometimes next is what you've been looking for years. and get derailed in the middle of the fight. So if you go to Mark chapter 5, when you get there, I'm going to read for a little bit, but when you get there, do me a favor, humor me, stand to your feet one more time. It's just a custom we have at Mercy Gate to stand for the reading of the word. I figure Muslims can't read the Quran without standing. We are to stand every now in the house of God upon the word of God. Amen. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had came out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been found with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broke in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Yeah, isn't that good? It doesn't matter how jacked up or messed up you are, you can still worship Jesus. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. Look at your neighbor and say, you might be messed up, but you still can worship. Yeah. Isn't that good? Because I've had some messed up days, and the only thing I could do is worship. I've had some messed up thoughts, and the only thing I could do is run to Jesus and worship. I've had some seasons that look jacked up and messed up, but in that moment in time, I could run and start singing about overflow, though I wasn't seeing any flow at all. Woo! I want to talk to real people today. I hadn't come to preach to everybody, but I have come to preach to somebody. And we're going to get you into your next. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And now a large herd of swine were feeding there near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Years ago, I used to preach a message entitled, take my demons, but don't mess with my pigs. We want our demons dealt with, but don't really deal with my issue. So those who fed the swine fled. Might as well, they just went bankrupt. Then they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. He departed, began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray over just a few minutes that you would anoint me and help me and lift me above my abilities to articulate and communicate a right now word to this house, God, to individuals in particular, Father, that moves them into the next. Father, for some, it's going to answer the why question. For others, they're not going to care about the why anymore. They're just going to look and say, Father, what's next? I'm ready to move. I'm ready to shift and I'm ready to go. Father, I pray today, would you help us? Would you anoint us? Anoint ears to hear, hearts to receive, and anoint me to communicate it. In Christ's name, let everybody say amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. I don't know about you, but I can tell you at home at Mercy Gate, we've been in a good season. We just finished our spiritual emphasis week and had an incredible outpouring of God's Spirit. We had a man who should have died in 1956, and for the first time, Pastor, he said, I discovered my purpose for living. He said, I didn't know why God allowed me to live back then and my friends to pass away and die. And he said, for years I lived in guilt of that moment that I thought I should have died with them. But I survived, and I haven't known why I've survived. And all these years since 1956, I've been tormented and I've been perplexed. And I've lived under a shadow of guilt. He said, but in a moment, in one moment, that shadow lifted and it was gone. And for the first time in my entire life, I now know the reason for my purpose of not just surviving the accident, but why God allowed me to be born into the earth. Can I tell you something? That's a good day, amen? We had a young lady that has been blind from birth. And God healed her miraculously and went to see the doctor. And the doctor said, honey, you have 20/20 vision. You never have to come and see me again until you're an old, old lady. Can I tell you something? That same God is still moving today. Amen. When I think of your theme, overflow, I think about something without boundaries, without restraints. Something where the limitations have been removed so that the overflow can happen. But it also makes me think about circumstances and situations that try to put limits on the vision of God and the purpose of God for our lives. How many know that when Lazarus came out of the grave, he was still constrained by grave clothes? He had to be loosed. When the Apostle Paul was taken in prison, they put him in chains. When Paul set sail to Rome, they put him in chains with other prisoners on a boat. But when the ship crashed, Paul was loosed. Some of the crashes that you've been through are literally for your freedom. Some of the collisions you thought were to destroy you, they were there to set you free. Here's the thing. I want to preach this morning to some survivors. Some folks that survived 2015. You know, the enemy was trying to get you to put limits on what God wanted to do and what would come about in your life. And I want to have a conversation with some folks this morning that honestly will be honest. Because we come into church and we shout and we wah and all that great stuff. And we talk about overflow, but you've been shouting all weekend about overflow, but secretly you can't tell anybody you really want to quit. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church. And can I tell you something? I just want to help you. It's okay to want to quit. As long as you know you're not going to. It's all right to want to, as long as you know I'm not going to. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to my spiritual father's 50th wedding anniversary. And I just asked him, we were sitting in our house, I said, how'd you make it 50 years? I know you and I know her. He said, you don't quit, you don't kill each other. That's good advice. How many know marriage isn't always kissy poo? Sometimes it's just poo. They say marriage was made in heaven. So is thunder and lightning. I mean, some folks that want to say, I'm throwing in the towel, I want to quit. But they know deep down I'm not going to. I've been shouting about overflow, but I've really been shouting in faith because I hadn't walked into overflow yet. Woo. See, the text I read to you has so much revelation in it, there's really not enough time for me to deal with all of it, but I want to. And I want to be honest with you about this message. I lived it. I'm not up here talking to some about a sermon yet that I got off of hotsermon.com or whatever those things are. I lived what I'm about to preach to you this morning. I lived the wanting to quit. I lived where my favorite song for a moment in time was Johnny Paycheck. Take this job and... Never mind. Anyway, move on. But somewhere in the journey, I began to understand what was going on and what was happening. Why the fight needed to be fought. Because when you get some information, it can bring revelation into your life, and then you can begin to understand why I got to fight the fight. How many know the book of Jude says there's some things you have to contend for? Overflow's not going to just happen. You're going to have to contend for overflow. You're going to have to fight some restraints, some boundaries, some limitation, some things that are trying to keep you from living in the overflow of God. In Genesis, God told Adam, he said, take care of the ground, till it, multiply in the earth. And it's a picture of expansion. It's a picture of overflow. When God spoke to Abraham, he spoke of two blessings. He says, your descendants shall be as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. And the second thing he told him, he says, I'm going to give you a territory. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build, lands you didn't earn, vineyards you did not plant. I'm going to give you territory. Joshua was told, go in and occupy the territory. The promises of God in Ephesians, the scripture says, give no place for the devil. You need to understand something this morning, Dominion. You have greater territory than you know you have. You have greater influence. You have greater favor. You have greater clout. You have greater dominion than just your name. You have greater authority. But the thing is, if you don't move into it, the enemy will take it from you. The enemy can take your stuff if you don't know what you have. Hear me. He can steal your peace if you don't know peace is the inheritance of a child of God. He can steal your joy. He can steal your resources. He can steal your anointing. He can steal your family. He can steal your ministry if you're not willing to fight. First week of January of December 2014, I'm laying in bed. I'm frustrated. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm angry. We had just built our new building 4 months ahead of time or 5 months ahead of time and moved into it July 13th, 2014. Should have been a great day, and immediately I started going through hell. Didn't know why though. I don't mind going through something if I know why. I'll be honest, I've had bigger fights than that. But why? And I'm laying there in bed, and at that time, believe it or not, someone said, "Pow!" It was Bobby this morning. He saw me. First thing he says, "Pastor, you look like you lost weight." I gained some back. You don't know. This is a whopping 175 of good looking. Well, maybe not. It's still 175, though. But I had went through a time by December, I had lost 23 pounds. And I'm laying in bed, and my wife says this. She says, have you gone through all you've gone through to allow the enemy to now steal your stuff? And Pastor, she rolled over and went to sleep. The devil is a lie. Rolled over and went to sleep. I didn't sleep all night. Her words echoing in my spirit. Have you really went through all you've went through to allow the enemy to steal the blessing on the other side of what you went through? Come on. Have you fought all this time and now not willing to move into the promise of God. You got to know this morning, you're in a fight. The Christian walk is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. Hear me this morning. If you're going to get the promises of God, which is overflow, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to contend for it. Your doubt and your discouragement is handing your territory over to the enemy, because the fight is about territory. The enemy has sent that fight against you, and it's for the territory. See, the hell you went through in 2015 is about your territory, trying to put restraints on you, limitation on you, trying to put boundaries on your dreams, on your faith, on your future, on your possibilities. It didn't just happen. It was warfare, baby. Look at you, just look at somebody right now and tell them, fight for your territory. Look at somebody that's awake and say, you got to fight for it. If you go back to the fourth chapter, you'll realize and see that there's a big storm that it was brewing. Jesus and his disciples are in the boat. They're trying to get to the other side, and here comes this big storm. And where are they trying to get? They're trying to get to the Gadarenes. When they get over to the Gadarenes is a region that is made up of 10 territories called the Decapolis. It means that there were 10 Greek cities that made up this entire region. And the enemy, whenever Legion came and the man was there to worship him, Legion begged him earnestly, the scripture says in verse 10, that he would not send them out of the countryside. That tells me something. It tells me that the attack is not about the man, it's about the territory. I'll leave the woman, just allow me to harass her daughter. I'll leave grandpa, but I'm still going to torment the grandkids. Just don't make me leave the territory. I'll give this church a breakthrough in the city, but I'm still going to hold on to the region. You need to understand, Dominion, when you put a shovel in the ground out here, you marked prophetic territory for the kingdom of God, and you waged war in this region. Because what I know about your pastor is he's not called to pastor this little church. He's called to take a region, to take territory. He's like Joshua, that everywhere you're willing to march and put your feet, I'll give you the territory. But the moment you went into the ground, the enemy took notice. Because that shovel in the ground was a prophetic marker declaring to all of darkness, light has just showed up out here on Calder Road. We can go, wow, until the enemy rears back and hits you in the mouth. And we thought, man, it was good and it was great and it was awesome. And here comes the enemy. See, the attack is about the city. It's about the region. It isn't about the man at all. The challenges that you've been through, it's not about you. It's about the new dimension of territory. It's about the new authority. It's about overflow. The enemy trying to restrain. See, you've been under a battle and in an attack, and it's not about you, and you took it personal. But it was about the region, because you're saved. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, for goodness sakes, you got here at 9 in the morning on a Sunday. You've got to be saved. It's that next service we're going to work on. Hey, here's the deal. See, you personally, may have been under an attack because the enemy peeked in your future and he knew if they ever realize the territory that is truly under their authority, your enemy is in trouble. I think about the storm. I was telling you about the storm. I got in a hurry and started talking about some other stuff. Devil is a lie. See, at our church, they got a little red clock right over there. Here, y'all put it up in a big, bold thing, man. They do that to you, brother? Oh, you can't see it if it's any smaller. Oh, Lord. I got real in here. Jesus and his disciples get on a boat to go to the other side, and here comes this terrible storm. The winds are blowing. It's going crazy. How many know if you're a fisherman, you've endured some storms? So if a storm freaks out a fisherman, that's a bad storm. And so here they are, and they're all nervous, they're all anxious, they're all scared. And Jesus gets up, and, you know, he was asleep, and he gets up and says, hey, chill out. Peace be still. That's the Greek translation is chill out. It is. Take my word for it. He gets up and says, peace be still. Speaks to the wind and the waves. And as I begin to read this and I begin to look at this, the storm was the attack to divert the ship or discourage the disciples to turn back. Because the enemy knew what would happen if Jesus touched his foot at Decapolis. If he got off that ship in the Gadarenes, he knew he was about to lose territory. He knew that the fight was fixed and he was about to be defeated. So the enemy sent a storm, because the Bible says he's the prince and the power of the air. He sent a storm out here, trying to keep the disciples discouraged enough to turn around and go back. Some of you want to go back to what you knew. Some of you want to go back to what was comfortable. Some of you want to go back in your walk with God and just say, I've gone far enough. And the reason is because you fought a fight, but the fight you realized and the storm you encountered was not about you. It was about somebody else's freedom that you haven't even encountered yet, that you haven't even met them. You don't know their name yet. But God is setting you free to get you through your storm for a divine appointment for somebody else's deliverance. Got to say a couple things. That clock is going to slow down for me. Here's the thing. When we think about Legion, we get into, well, how many is it? Is it 600? Is it 2,000? It doesn't matter. What it tells me is it's organized. I don't care about the number. You got to understand, the enemy is organized. Have you ever been under an organized attack? Where it seems like it's one thing after another. They seem small, but it's the small things that just keep hitting us that make a big deal. It's, I'm being attacked here, I'm being attacked here. Then all of a sudden you go out and I got a flat tire and you just beat your car to death. Not because you got a flat tire, it was because of all this. You walk in and yell at the kids and it wasn't the kids' fault. What happened was, is you had been through this, you had been through this, you had been through this. I've been under an organized attack. And all of a sudden, you launch it out on those that are going to love you anyway, or supposed to. And Jesus steps onto that shore, and he steps in the middle of that organized attack. See, you need to understand something. The enemy isn't like the church. The devils that are attacking you and attacking the church of Jesus Christ are organized. Sometimes the church isn't so organized. And he casts them out and they go into the pigs. Never mind, I won't say that. And the pigs commit suicide. But anyway, that's another thing. I want you to see something. What this man was going through causes the pigs to commit suicide. See, what you've been facing would have caused someone else to quit, to give up, to throw in the towel. But what you need to understand, you're really stronger than you knew you were. You were really stronger than you ever realized. You were stronger than anybody else, even yourself, gave you credit for. Other people would have quit. Other people would have gave up. They would not have just wanted to, they would have. But you didn't. Slap your neighbor and say, I didn't quit. Give somebody a high five next to you and say, I'm still here. The man sees Jesus and he comes to him and worships him. But something is off with his worship. Have you ever been around someone and you just knew something was off with their worship? They were trying to, but something was off. Something was putting limits. Something was putting restraints. Something was putting boundaries. There was no overflow of worship. There was hype, but no overflow. How many know you can have hype and it not be spiritual? How many know the person that's doing the might not be as spiritual in the moment as the person that's just. Don't be judging somebody by the outward. Some don't even know what they've been through. To get here was a miracle. But the demons knew who Jesus was. Hear me. Jesus' own disciples at this time did not fully know who he was, but the enemy knew who he was. My God, I'm talking to somebody right now. You're living with somebody that don't even know who you really are. You're at work with people that don't even know the man and the woman of God that you truly are. You've had some encounters with God and you started to step into your identity and step into your overflow, and the enemy knows who you are, and that's why he attacked you. Because if you ever step in the full manifestation of the overflow that God has for you, you will wreak havoc in his kingdom. The herdsmen in the city, the Bible says, the city comes out to see this thing. They don't even know what to call it. I'm going to go see this thing. Have you had people come to your church yet to see this thing? We have. But the herdsmen want Jesus to leave the region. They want Jesus to leave the territory. Now get this picture. The man who had been delivered is standing there, all cleaned up, in an Armani suit, chilling with Jesus and the boys, saying, I'm going with y'all. The Bible says that the herdsmen in the city people, they come out and they are afraid. That makes me nervous. Because it doesn't say anything about their fear when the man was demon-possessed, running and living among the tombs, breaking chains and doing all those things. They had come so comfortable with the demons that the freedom scared them. They had become so complacent with the limitations that overflow made them nervous. We can do it this way, this way, this way. Oh, but don't do it this way. This way makes us nervous. Look at your neighbor right now, boss. Say, he's talking to me. You want to say he's talking to you. That's always, he's always want to play a church folk for you. It says in verse 18, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him. Now, Pastor, wouldn't it be good for folks to beg to come to Jesus? Begged to follow Jesus. Begged to volunteer. Begged to serve. beg to straighten chairs, beg to work in the parking lot, beg to let me keep kids because I've got more word in me than I'll ever use. And so let me go take care of kids so somebody else can hear the gospel. Beg to get in the boat. Beg to come to church. What time can we be there? What service can I go to? Can I go to both? Now look at your neighbor and say, he is definitely talking to you. Say, that ain't me at all. However, the Bible says, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Here's the thing. Somebody that has been set free now must set a standard in the territory. Why couldn't the man go with Jesus? Jesus said, you've been set free in the territory. Stay in the territory. Show them what the standard of freedom now looks like. You remember the woman that came and had, let me be politically correct. She had been in 5 living situations and marriages that didn't quite work out. And now, she is cohabiting with a 6th person. See, where I grew up at, that was called shacked up. But nowadays, it's called cohabiting because we don't want to offend anybody. But I'm from Sweeney, and so y'all pray for me. Take the boy out the country, but you can't take country out the boy. And what happens? She comes back. She drinks the water. She goes into the city and she says, you got to come hear about a man who's told me everything about myself. And when we read in church history, one of the greatest churches ever to be established in the first century was established in Samaria. How? Philip doesn't go there until about a bunch of years later. The disciples are hanging out in Jerusalem singing Kumbaya in the upper room for 7 years until Saul kills Stephen. And when Saul kills Stephen, finally they remember the promise of God that says, go. And they go. Nothing like disciples starting to get killed for us to go. And notice it was a deacon, thank God, not a preacher. Anybody want to sign up to be a deacon? First man martyred in the New Testament outside of Jesus was a deacon. And so here you have this church in the first century that is a powerhouse, but Jesus did not go there. The disciples did not go there. How did that church get established? It got established because a woman went to a well to get a bucket of water. Instead, she got living water and went back and shared that living water in that territory. Only somebody free in the territory can take freedom to the territory. You're not here on Calder Road to have good church. You're here on Calder Road to be the church and take territory for the kingdom of God. To see marriages restored, families restored, see kids saved, mamas and daddies come to know Christ. God delivered you, placed you here. Just say, that's what freedom looks like. To a whole region. That drive by, they come in and say, that's what freedom. They won't even recognize it. It'll freak them out. They're so comfortable with demons, they'd rather hang out with them than to know real freedom. Had a lady came in Freeport. She came to our church and she was visiting. And finally, after visiting about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, she came up to me. You'll appreciate this, Pastor Dana. She came and she said, I'm never coming back to this church. I said, hey, sometimes it's good for the people to tell you. Instead of just, you thought the rapture happened, they were the only ones gone. But I said, okay, have I done something to offend you? What happened? She goes, no, I want you to understand something. Every time I come to this church, it's like you followed me all week. You've been spying on me. And I've come to a conclusion, you're a psychic. And I'm like, I've been called a lot of things in life. That's just not one of them. And I said, ma'am, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has followed you all week. And the Holy Spirit is so in love with you that he shares with me what to share to the congregation so that you can move from darkness into light, from bondage to freedom. This is what she told me, Pastor. That never happened in my last church, so I'm going back there. And left. Because there are people that would rather have your change you're comfortable with than the freedom that you may not be comfortable with. I'd rather live in these limitations than really step into overflow. Let me close in a minute. I'm only going to close once today. Can I tell you something? Your territory is your territory. Don't relinquish it to the enemy. Your territory is your territory. That's what's going to set others free. That's where deliverance is going to come. The overflow from the weekend. If you've been here, whether it be Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and you're like, woohoo, I'm in overflow. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about others. See, if you're going to overflow, there ought to be something underneath that that catches it. What are we going to do? Just overflow and let it spill on the ground and be wasted? No, it's got to overflow and fall in the territory. It's got to fall in your house. It's got to fall on your job. It's got to fall in your family. It's got to fall on your kids. Whatever God is overflowing in your life, somebody ought to get up underneath that and allow it to flow on them. Ed Cole says this, if you want understanding, it depends on who you stand under. A lot of folks never walk in the understanding of the Word of God because they're really not willing to submit themselves to stand under somebody else. Wow. To get the overflow of what's happening in them. See, this new location, it isn't about this building. I love your building, though. Our new building wasn't about our building. It's not about the new. This facility is a prophetic marker. Hear me. Trust me. I know from whence I speak. How do you like that King James language? If you need to know what that means in Mount Bellevue, I know what I'm talking about. Been there, lived it, got the scars to prove it. When you built this facility, for you, it was a building. For you, it's nicer accommodations. To darkness, it was a prophetic marker. To your enemy, it was, oh, they meant business. This is about to get real. We could lose our stronghold here. And we're not going to lose our stronghold because it was an outside influence that came in. No, it was somebody on the inside that got set free and delivered, got in their right mind. They got cleaned up. They got free. They got liberated. And then they stepped up and said, this territory is now for God. This territory now is about the kingdom of God. How many know the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? How many know the steps of a good woman is ordered of the Lord? So you need to understand something. It's going to be steps. that you're taking the territory. Everywhere you put your feet, I will give you the territory. See, you're telling of all the good things the Lord has done for you and not focusing on the negatives of your life. Anybody can walk around going, gloom, despair, and agony on me. But can you walk through and start talking about how you survived, how you came through, what God has done? These are the miracle reports. I found why God wants me there. My last thought, and I'm really done, and I want to pray for somebody, is your worship that's going to get you to the place where you can be set free. Hear me. It's your worship that gets you to the place where freedom and overflow can be found. Pastor, I don't want to worship. It don't matter. If a guy that had legion living inside of him could worship, what's your issue and how big is it? You telling me what you're facing is bigger than legion? Are you telling me what you're dealing with is more organized than legion? It doesn't matter what it is. I came to tell you that God is greater. That it's better than a memory verse, that greater is He that lives in us than he that is in the world. That's better than just a cute saying. It is a reality, sunshine. And when you get to the other side and you say, I didn't know it was about the territory. When I realized, Pastor, that it was about the territory, the fight was fixed then. It was on like Donkey Kong. I was good to go. Devil should have kept me in ignorance, because when I got some revelation, that gave me some power and some authority to step up and to speak out and decree and declare. And I wish I could have told you it got better. But for 3 months, everything around me looked like it was getting worse. But it didn't matter anymore. Because it might have been getting worse around me, but it was getting better inside of me. And I began to get, I'm like, Devil, I came to fight now. This is my territory. God said this was mine. He said my family was mine. He said this house of God was mine. He said everywhere I put my foot was mine. He said Crosby is mine. Mont Bellevue is mine. Baytown is mine. Kennefic was mine. Dayton. I began to drive around them towns and tell the devil, get out of my house. Get out of my stuff. Get out of my region. Get out of my families. Get out of my territory. God gave it to me. You ought to give God a praise if God has given you some territory. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Woo! Has He given you some territory? Now do you know what the fight was about? Whew. Come on, you ought to go ahead and give God some praise. Let Him know, God, I'll take my family. I'll take my territory. League City's mine. Dickinson is mine. Galveston County is mine. Here's what I'm going to do real fast. I want to pray for somebody who has said, it's been a fight, but now I know why. And now that I know why, I'm dangerous. Now that I know why, you know what I hear in the back of my head? Bump. Bum, 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 bum. Rising up back to the...
Come on.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. Y'all were playing some little riffs earlier to some Journey. And so I wanted to go, oh, 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 faithfully. I ain't always been saved, and some folks think I barely am, so y'all pray for me. But you're here, and you're like, Pastor Don, man, I've been shouting about overflow all weekend. I've been wanting the overflow. But man, I've been in a fight. But now I know the fight wasn't personal. It wasn't about me. I thought it was, but it wasn't. It was about the territory God called me to take dominion in. So if that's you, Renee, come play some Journey or Survivor. I'm kidding. He can. He'll be up here. Bump, 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 bump. We're getting some rocky stuff going on in this place. But you're here and you're like, Pastor Don, that was me. In 2015, almost took me out and I wanted to quit. But I'm still standing. I'm here. Aren't you glad the Bible says, having done all, know how to do, just stand? Sometimes standing is all you can do. But you're like, I made it. And I'm going to take the territory. It's mine. That you? Come. Come. We're going to pray fast. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to look down their nose at you. Nobody's going to wonder, what they've been going through. Honestly, it ain't none of their business, because today you're positioning yourself to take territory. See, the overflow is about position. The overflow is about alignment. That now you're about to align yourself in the place God wanted you to be, so that the overflow of your life rests up in the territory that He sent you into to have dominion, to have rank, to have authority.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.